Good morning, everybody. Won't you guys stand up and sing a little bit with us? When we hear your voice, when you call us out to the unknown uncertain, we will call to mind your righteous faithfulness to your people, your creation. We
treading what we have.
The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. Every time I sing and every time I live my life and make new decisions, I want to sing like never before, and I want to give glory to you, and I want people to see you and who you are and not me. And I pray that you make that happen. God, and I just thank you for all the people in this room, God, and especially for the people who have made the decision to follow you completely with their lives through baptism today and call you Lord and Savior, God. And that is so exciting to me, and I cannot wait for it. So thanks, God. Amen. All right, you guys, give somebody a high five and have a seat.
I am Kim Botto, and I lead the Kids Club and Student Ministry teams around here, and we're glad you're here. Yes, for Kids Club and Student Ministry. I love them too. This has been a really great weekend. Yesterday, we participated in Go Cincinnati. Yes. And we set thousands of us went out and loved our city by painting walls, painting kids' faces, cleaning up, mulching, doing all kinds of things. And we made such a buzz, we were the number one trending hashtag on Twitter yesterday. Yeah. So Go Cincinnati is kind of a big deal. Another thing that's a big deal around here is Kids Club. While we're in here in the auditorium each week, there are thousands of kids back in Kids Club who are doing much like what we're doing right here. They're singing to God, they're hearing teaching based on the Bible, and they're just considering what all this means to them. The environment is just different. We always keep the lights up, and the people are much shorter and the furniture's shorter, but it's a super fun environment for kids. We also have a great environment for students that happen every week from our middle school and high school students, and then we have a monthly activity called Big, which is really, really big, and there's information about that in your program. So parents, if you have kids or students, now is a great time to get them involved in Kids Club and Student Ministry. We'd love to have you, but check out here for more info. It's also a great time to get involved in serving around here. We realize that since we last invited people to get engaged in serving, we've had thousands of new people who have joined our community. So if you had fun serving at Go Cincinnati yesterday, or if you're looking for a way to get plugged in with more and meet more people, I have a first step for you. So what I need you to do is I need you to take out your phone. Right now, do it. Take out your phone, and I'm going to give you your first step. And if you're already serving around here, please encourage the people who are taking out their phone and tell them how fun it is to serve and what a great time they're going to have on the team. Yes! This is what you're going to do. You're going to text 313131, and in the message, you're going to put CRDS space serve. You will get an immediate response that tells you what your next step is. And the reason that I'm so passionate about you serving is because I know when I serve alongside other people, I grow, we change the world, but most importantly, God changes me through serving, and I want you to experience that too. It is super fun. So we'd love to have you serve, and there are all kinds of opportunities. In Kids Club and Student Ministry, if kids and students aren't your thing, we do not want you in Kids Club and Student Ministry. No. There are all kinds of other fun ways to serve, whether that's parking cars, helping find people find a seat in here. So text now, and then we'll tell you what your next step is. All these things that we're talking about, Kids Club, Go Cincinnati, require resources, time and energy and money. So now is the time in our service where we are going to be generous. And one of the ways we do that is there's going to be a bag that passes you by. You can be generous by putting money in the bag. You can also give by going to crossroads.net/give. And that's what my family does. Now, as we're doing the offering, we're going to take a look at my absolute favorite faces in this building. We're glad you're here.
Here for Kids Club. Yeah. You know, if you're like me, you drop your kids off and you pick them up and you wonder what happens in between that time. There is an incredibly fun environment where kids are going to a new place with God happening every weekend. Love for you to be a part of that team. Want to just give encouragement to people who are already on that team. And whether it's that or First Impressions, as Kim said, love to have you be a part of this team. Hey, this team has a lot to celebrate. A lot to celebrate. So as Kim said, we had thousands of people do Go Cincinnati yesterday. How many people were out there getting their hands dirty? You know, we've been doing this for 9 years. There's always some new thing that God does to just say, hey, I am about this and I am for this. Yesterday, Mayor John Cranley declared it Go Cincinnati Day in the city. You guys had a proclamation named after you as you were out there serving. So, but today, as we wrap up the brave journey, I can't believe it's been 6 weeks already. We've been at this for 6 weeks, and as we wrap up today, this is a part celebration. It's a big celebration. We're going to be baptizing people in this pool behind me today. That's a pretty big celebration. So that's going to happen. And I want to just give kind of like a commencement speech to the rest of us and to those who are getting in the pool as we get to this point in the brave journey, because if you're like me, you're just getting started. You're just getting started. We've made progress, but I want to encourage us to keep going. And if you're new here and you're wondering if this Jesus character actually is real, alive, and has relevance to your life, I can't think of a better place for you to be for the next hour than in this room to have that question answered for you. So I think there's something for all of us today. Let's pray before we go any further. God, I just ask that you would help us to receive from you today, whether that's receiving the call, the prompt, to get up out of our seats and get into the waters to be baptized, whether it's receiving a better perspective of what it is you're doing in the midst of our brave journey, or whether it's receiving, maybe for the first time, a vision of who Jesus is. I pray that for all of us, we would receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a lot to celebrate over the last 6 weeks. 23,000 of us through the app have picked a heading and are going in a bold new direction. That's awesome. That's amazing. That's an amazing thing. 10,000 people went down to CityLink and experienced what I think was our best prayer experience to date down there. Unbelievable. That happened. And people are taking brave steps. There's like this epidemic right now of people quitting their jobs. Anybody have a person in your group that quit their job? I mean, that was happening. Like, I kept hearing stories like, man, like five people in my group quit their job coming on the Brave journey. It's like, that's awesome, I think. It is awesome because I've actually heard about some of those people getting new jobs. So praise God for that. People are getting new jobs. People are starting businesses. I've heard about people who are getting engaged. I've heard about people who are getting free from an addiction. And I've also heard about people receiving Jesus for the first time in the last 6 weeks of Brave. Man, praise God. And we've all received some incredible encouragement along the way. How amazing was John Gray last weekend, huh? Yeah? Oh, man. I missed it in person. I was watching in my office. I had to shut the door. I kept distracting people. I was laughing so loud. So, but man, talking about the journey from here to there, and that's where we are. That's where we are as we're in week six of this journey. We are on the way to where God's taking us. Philippians 1:6 says this, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We've begun a good work. If you've been on this journey, if you've been engaging in the group, if you've been engaging in what God has for you, you have begun a good journey. And my encouragement for all of us today is I want us to complete it. I want us to be people who complete this journey, who cooperate with the God who will complete the journey through us. A friend of mine summarized the Brave journey in a sentence. And so I want to share that with you. He said, your heading is not about where you'll be, but who you'll be when you get there. Your heading is not about where you'll be. Yes, there's an element of destination, but the way God works in our lives, whenever God's taking us to a new destination, he is also doing the work of formation. He is forming us into a new person. That's what God is about. Again, in Philippians 1:6, it says what? The work is happening in you. The work is happening in you. And I think there's good work that's been happening in us. I think some of us have increased our confidence in our identity resting in Christ. Not our identity coming from what we do, not our identity coming from our past, but an identity that is securely fastened onto who Jesus is and who he says we are in him. I think many of us have grown in connection to God and connection to other people. There's a power that happens of team when you're connected to other people. Some of us have grown in our capability. Maybe we've uncovered gifts that we've had, and we never realized this is something God wants to use in this particular way. And so there's an increase in confidence. People are growing in humility. I know I've been growing in humility over the last 6 weeks of recognizing just how much I need God for the places that he's taking me, and that's a good thing. So let's keep going. Let's move to completion, even as we're at this point in the 6 weeks of the Brave journey. I got four encouragements for us, four encouragements for all of us as we continue to cooperate with God and move toward completion of the journey he started over these last 6 weeks of Brave. The first encouragement is to stick with the team, to stick with the team. One of the cool stories that I heard from a friend of mine who was leading a Brave journey group, it's a couples group, was about a guy in his group that really was struggling with rejection. He's a guy who just has a checkered past. There's a lot of things that he's done in his past, and he's really kind of bought this lie that somehow he is unacceptable to Jesus, that he is unworthy of God's love, and he really wrestles with that. And in the midst of this group, over the course of the weeks, this guy probably started in a place of being skeptical about Jesus, maybe agnostic, but then coming to a place very quickly where he has changed. And the big part of his change, and I've got his permission to share this, is he said this to the group in one of their meetings. He said, I couldn't see Jesus until I saw the love that you guys had for me in this group. That's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. And that guy gave his life to Christ in the midst of that group. I mean, that's what happens when you stick with team. God works in the context of team. So stick with team. It'll never be easier to be in a small group for you than it is right now. You're in a group. You've got a day of the week where you're already meeting. You've probably figured out childcare logistics to make that work. If childcare is an issue, it'll never be easier to stay connected to a team than it is right now. So we're going to help you do that. We've got a study on prayer that you can access at crossroads.net/journey. It's a great follow-up to Brave. Kind of works the same way. There's some personal work, and then you can come in your group and discuss it. So I'm telling you, this is the best opportunity for you to stay connected in team. The app is going to be updated. Be on the lookout for that. The app's going to continue to be a place where you can get connected to your team. And we're doing something to build all of us as a team, and I'm pretty excited about it. So May 27th, we're launching Next Level. Next Level. So we have done this thing called Last Wednesday for years. We're on the last Wednesday of the month. We get together for an extended time of singing through music. We have communion in that setting. Sometimes there's teaching. A lot of times there's just worship. We just get together and connect as a community. Well, we are using the last Wednesday of the month, and we're going to use it differently. And what we're doing is for everybody who said yes to Jesus and wants to figure out, okay, what do I do next? Month after month after month in Lex Level, we are going to be training on skills of following Jesus. We're going to be sharpening that in the context of community, and we're going to repeat. And it's going to be great. So I want you to just put that on your calendar now. It's going to be incredible. Still having crazy off the chain worship at that gathering. We're still going to have communion. But we are all going to go to the next level together. It's another way that we can be a team. So stick with the team. That's a big encouragement I want you to hear coming out of Brave. Stay connected to community and stick with the team. Three other encouragements for you, and they come from a story that struck me this week, a story I've read in the Bible several times, another water miracle story. There's been this theme of water throughout Brave. The big story we focused on was Peter, one of the followers of Jesus, walking on water at the invitation of the God, Jesus, who controls the wind and the waves. Well, there's another miracle around water that's God working in the context of team. Happens in the Old Testament, the Bible. The nation of Israel is ready to inherit the promised land. They have come from slavery in Egypt. And interestingly, there's a direct path from Egypt to Israel, but God chooses to take his people the long way around. Anybody feel like that on your journey? Like you're going the long way around? It's because God had some formation to do of his people so they could actually possess the land that he promised to them. And so at some point they get there and they're about to cross over, and there's only one barrier that remains, and it's the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was at flood stage. This is not the time when you want a bunch of people walking into the river. That's not a good idea. And yet, that's exactly the way God calls them to go. And there's some lessons we can learn from their crossing over the Jordan that I think apply to us as we continue in the good work that God has called us to. In the book of Joshua chapter 3, we see the story of the nation of Israel preparing to cross the Jordan. And the night before, Joshua, their leader, says this to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Consecrate yourself. What's that word consecrate mean? Well, the word consecrate meant to set apart or to dedicate as special unto the Lord. And what consecrate oftentimes meant in this time was you need to take a bath and you need to change your clothes. That's my second encouragement to you, is you need to change your clothes. You need to change, not like literally right now, change your clothes, but you need to change your clothes. See, these are people who have been wandering in the dusty wilderness for 40 years with one set of clothes. Can you say stank? And so what God is doing through Joshua's leadership is saying, tomorrow you're crossing over to a new place, and I want you to change your clothes. I want you to have a different perspective, because you're never going back to the place where you came from in Egypt, and you need to know that. You need to change your clothes. And I tell you what, I think there's many of us, we've changed habits over these 6 weeks. We have new rhythms of interacting with people and with God. Many of us have changed beliefs, and we've stopped believing lies, and we're starting to walk in the truth. And isn't it a good thing to walk in truth? It's a beautiful thing when you recognize reality and begin to walk in the truth. Some of us have changed trajectory. A marriage that was on its way down is now resurrected again. A relationship with friends that was shattered is now being resurrected and brought back together again. And I want you to change your clothes. I want you to know, you may not be at the completion of your journey, but you do not need to go back to Egypt. Change your clothes. Change your clothes. Walk in the freedom God has for you. Story goes on in Joshua 3:13, and this is the water miracle. It says this, "And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." Third encouragement for us as we continue on the journey is this: just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. I love this story. You may have heard of the crossing of the Red Sea. This is when Moses puts his rod in as they're just leaving Egypt. The waters part and Israel walks through on dry land. I love that this story of the Jordan has a little bit of a different twist to it. Because what you notice here is the waters part in the Jordan. It says they go and they roll up to one end and they stand on a heap. But it only happens when the soles of the foot of the priest step into the river. They have to bank their lives on the faithfulness of God in order to see the miracle of God. And so when they put their feet in the river, they're saying, we're banking our lives because we cannot swim in flood stage. But at the moment they do that, the water begins to separate and recede. This is how faith works. And this is how faith works on our brave journey. And so I want to encourage you guys to be people who are putting one foot in front of the other. I learned a principle. I actually didn't learn it in church. I learned it playing dice on the streets of Philadelphia. But I think it applies to faith. Scared money don't make money. Scared money don't make money. What that means is you have to be willing to risk in order to experience a reward. And you know what? It's the exact same way when it comes to faith. God is interested in coming alongside and working miracles for people who will put one foot in front of the other, who recognize that scared faith don't make faith. So don't play scared, play brave. Play brave. Maybe your big vision, your heading, is to start a business. Put one foot in front of the other and write the business plan. Make the next connection, network with the next person, share your idea with the next person. Maybe for some of us, the big thing we're going after is finishing school. Awesome, finish school. You know how that starts? Fill out the application. Take the first class. That's how we get to the heading that God has called us to. Maybe for some of us, it's getting out of debt. You know how you get out of debt? You don't get out of debt all in one fell swoop, but we're doing something here that you can be a part of called Financial Peace University. Sign up for the class. One foot in front of the other until we get to the place that God has called us to. This is how faith works. And this is what God is doing in us as he's moving us to completion of the good work. One final encouragement. And this is absolutely connected to what's going to happen in the waters of baptism today. There's a powerful parenthesis in this story. And it says this in Joshua 3:15 through 16. It says, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. This is in the process of talking about how they actually do put their feet in the water and go over to the other side. And there's this parenthesis there. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. When I read stuff like this in the Bible, I ask myself, why is that there? Why is there a parenthesis there? And the reason is because I think this is emphasizing this is how God works. There are times when the Jordan is basically a trickle where you can easily walk across the Jordan. Why wouldn't God choose, in his wisdom, to have the Israelites walk across at a time like that? It's because God wants to teach us something about bravery in this story and in our lives, which is this. Bravery is not about us in our resources bucking up and going after a big vision. Bravery is not us and our resources doing that, but it's us being people who believe in the resources and in a bigger Jesus who calls us out to do this. Let me tell you something. It will always be flood stage when God calls you to take a brave step. You didn't need to come to church to hear that. You know that already, right? It will always be flood stage. It will never be when the Jordan is a trickle that God calls you to invest in a relationship. It will never be when the Jordan is a trickle that God calls you to go after a new thing. It will always be at flood stage. But here's the thing. When your feet touch the water, there's the faithfulness of Jesus behind you, and he will make the waters part on your behalf. On your behalf. So the final encouragement for all of us is submerge your life in Jesus. Submerge your life in Jesus, because when they took that step, they were saying, we are banking our lives on the faithfulness of God. And today, as people get in the waters of baptism, they are saying, we have banked our lives on the faithfulness of Jesus. All of my identity, all of my worth, all of what I'm going after is based on Jesus and what he has done for me. That's what baptism represents. The Bible talks about baptism in Romans 6, where it says this, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Today, people are going to come through the waters of baptism, and they're going to go under the water. And that going under the water totally symbolizes a real death that has happened. The people who go through the water have died to themselves. They have died to everything that they used to rely on for power or for identity. They have died to all of those things. But everybody who goes in the water, thank God, will come up out of the water. And when they come up out of the water, it represents the newness of life. What's the promise for people who submerge their life in Jesus? The promise is newness of life. And so today, when people get in the waters of baptism, you, if you're one of those people, you're going to be publicly declaring what you've already inwardly received. And that's why we celebrate baptism. Have you submerged your life in Jesus? Have you died to everything else that you would rely on, and are you experiencing the newness of life? If you've done that, but you've never publicly declared it through baptism, I've got a secret for you. You came in dry, but you're going to leave wet. You're going to leave wet. And I just think right now, Jesus is working on the hearts of people, and you know who you are. Today is your day. Today is your day. And I can't think of a better place for you to get in the water and celebrate the newness of life that Jesus offers to you and you have received. This is going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. It's a great day to get wet. So coming into the weekend, we asked some people just to share a little bit of their stories, why they're getting in the waters of baptism. I want us to be encouraged by their stories, whether we're getting in the water or we're going to be celebrating the people who do. Take a look.
Before I met Jesus, it was much different than it is now.
I kind of just sought the approval of others and not really, I didn't seek God.
It's just a lot of questioning, just a lot of kind of going to church, not really getting a lot out of it, and always questioning the purpose of it.
It was kind of like a Sunday thing. I didn't apply it to my life.
Everything was the way I thought that it should be, but didn't feel whole inside.
The storm that I face is something that I can't deal with by myself, so there's God, but I wasn't sure.
I still very much felt alone. I felt like I was doing it on my own.
I like to think of, I grew up walking next to him with a wall between us. He was there, but I didn't see him.
I didn't feel this. I was connecting with God.
I just really felt really far from God.
I start searching for something, and I start learning about him. And I just start praying with him and start praying with God. And I feel like each day I'm feeling better.
I just decided it's time to make a change, really try to dive in and understand God. And that's opened so many doors.
You know, God was like, you need to open up to someone. And once I finally did, then like things started happening in my life.
We started to have a community group of other families. And I was like, wow, they have God in their life as a family. And that's what we're trying to do.
How God can not only speak to me through prayer, but through the people around me is such an awesome thing.
Everything has changed. It's a beautiful thing.
I feel like God knows that the storm is coming, and so he just wants me to know that he's here.
I kind of felt like hopeless, that like I didn't have much of a future, and I feel like God was like, that is so not the case, and the more I trust him, the more he shows me like what he has planned for me.
This past year of my life has been phenomenal. I personally wish that I would have found God so much earlier. I feel like I'm a whole new person.
I kind of see Jesus as like my best friend, because he was there with me when I felt so alone. I felt like no one else was with me.
And I really started to let my guard down and to just jump feet first.
I made the decision to follow Jesus and to trust him as my Savior, actually when I was going through a story-formed life group. So it was a matter of taking a leap of faith, and I guess kind of reflecting on the things that had happened in my life up to this point and questioning, was this the result of things that I've done, or was this the result of God being there with me? And it was just undeniable that the good stuff in my life is because God has been there with me through the way.
God is just showing me how much he loves me and how that is so much more important than my purpose.
There's a lot of bumps in the road, and I think there wasn't necessarily one thing that just made me snap and change everything that I did. I think it was just a compilement of all of it and realizing that, hey, if you want to fix this, you need to go to God.
I have nowhere to go but Jesus, so that I feel he said, come to me. I'm here for you, come to me. And that I feel like he's there, and God showed me he's real, that if I trust in him, it doesn't matter, he'll be there, everything will be fine.
Having a relationship with Jesus is commitment. It's not just like, yeah, I believe in him, and yeah, I go to church, and I'll pray before dinner, because I mean, I did all of that before I found him. But I definitely didn't have a relationship with him. I had a knowledge of him.
Do I feel like I fully surrendered to God? Yes.
And it's not a matter of I've done it and I'm done. It's like the laundry. The laundry's never done. The laundry just keeps piling up. You got to keep doing the laundry. So same thing in handing over life to God. I feel like it's the thing that I constantly have to continue to do.
So baptism for me is like a response to his love, and I'm finally receiving it.
I'm ready to declare that Jesus is my Lord and he is Savior.
In my mind, I've already declared it months and months ago, but to do it officially, I'm super excited, especially getting to share it with my 6-year-old.
Being baptized is taking that next step. I decided to do that because I want to celebrate with my church and with my family.
Yes, I'm ready to publicly declare that Jesus is my Savior and that I want to follow him for the rest of my life.
Those people are taking a bold, brave step today. And I don't think they're the only ones. I don't think they're the only ones that Jesus is prompting to get up out of their seat and to boldly declare that they are submerging their lives in his. And so that's what we're going to do for the rest of our time. This is not for everybody. This is for people who are ready to surrender, have surrendered to Jesus, and are publicly declaring that. But I tell you what, I think it's for a lot of people. I think it's for a lot of people in this room. So that's what we're going to be doing for the rest of our time. So I want to encourage all of us here, if that prompting, if you hear that prompting, you know it's God, you know you have committed to Jesus, you know you are following him with your life, but you have never publicly declared it from baptism, that prompting is the voice of God right now saying, yes, this is your time. This is your time. So I want all of us to stand. Everyone to stand. We're going to sing a song together. Not everybody's going to be coming into the water, but we all need to be brave. We all have a place that God is taking us. And so we're going to sing a song together as people are preparing to get baptized. And so right now, if you know God's calling you to this, then you can get out of your seat. You can make your way down to the first level and to this aisle right here. We've got volunteers that will meet you there. You may not have planned on getting wet today, but we planned for you. So we've got towels, we've got changing shirts, we've got bags for your stuff. Don't let any of those logistics be the reason you don't follow through and obey the voice of your rescuer, Jesus, your Lord and Savior, as he's calling you to get baptized. If you're coming from the high levels, you can just come down the spiral stairs, make your way here, and our volunteers will meet you there. Keep going to the back of that aisle there, and they will meet you there. It's going to be an exciting day for all of the people who are getting baptized. Look at these people as they come. Man, look at this. You know, statistically in our country, when adults give their lives to Jesus, it is a miracle statistically. We got miracles right here. If you want to see if Jesus is alive and working, we got miracles right here happening right in front of our eyes. So God, in this moment, I just pray that all of us would be inspired. We would be inspired to either follow through on the call you have for us or be inspired by people as they do that. Because you want to make all of us brave. I pray that you would. In Jesus' name, amen.
Kevin, you just told me that God has interrupted your life in an amazing way around here. So Kevin, I just ask you, who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
My life is all about being in God's service from here on out, from this day, and that God is not just my Father, he's my King.
Seeing that God is not keeping score and knowing that he's my Savior and he's love, that weight has just been lifted off.
There's no fear in love, and that's just not how I'm supposed to live my life.
It's a gift. Everything he gives is a gift. I don't have to work for it. It's freely given. It's unconditional.
Thank you.
So what made you decide to do this today?
I've always tried to be really independent, and I realized that there's strength in not going alone, and I'm committing to that today.
I faced addiction for the last 21 years. Death was my last option, and I found Jesus. And I don't think I'm going to die now.
So I keep hearing this commercial on TV, and all I'm hearing is, this changes everything. And I instantly went back to awaited, and I knew that it was God talking to me.
This family has been broken. At Main Camp, I dedicated my life to Christ. It has had a fundamental change in our family. It has changed it. We have healed our marriage. Our daughter is thriving.
My heart has been healed and I feel whole again because I have a relationship with God.
What today marks for you?
2 years without drug dealing.
I'm ready to follow him anywhere he's going to take me at this point.
I'm so blessed and so grateful to have a relationship with God now like I haven't had for 50 years. It's amazing.
Rose, who's your Lord and Savior?
Jesus is my Lord and Savior.